Different, isn't it? We decided to change it up a little bit this morning. It's really because I'm preaching just now and I thought it would be easier to get dressed and be ready to preach. But it's also a great time to have a baptismal service while we're celebrating. We can celebrate a change in somebody's life. So we've been Fred and Gedalvia Hinterlang. Fred Hinterlang, him and Ria joined the church probably 3 months ago. Well, they came into fellowship about 6 weeks ago. And we did a baptism, and Fred said, "Now I'm going to wait until it's winter." So thank you, Fred. Want it your nog steeds lief? But it's not so bad. And as we stand, we just shivering a little bit. But what a celebration. And Fred, the Lord has touched his life. I've seen this man, and he's excited about the Lord. And we all need to be excited about the Lord like this. So, Fred, will you eat see? Maar jy sal hier so moet staan.
Ek wil net vir die Here sê, dankie dat hy my aanvaar en dat ek saam met 'n gemeente is wat die Here aan die hele glo en hy moet my regmaak en my verder help. Dankie Here.
Ek kan nou nie wat gesels nie. Okay, in die manier hier hier aan, maar jy gaan my arm so met albei jou hande. Ja, en ek gaan afvat en opbring. Fed in accordance with your faith and your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, and your desire to want to be different, your desire not to live in the old ways. We baptize you now, or I baptize you now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. The man was crying before I baptized him. That means the Lord has touched him. I want to just thank you, youth worship team. You did a splendid job with me, really. I sat and I listened, and I think maybe it's time for us to retire. I don't know if I'm quite ready to do that yet, but I was blessed. Amen. Were you blessed? Can we give the Lord a praise offering for that? So this week, as I was preparing a message, I actually prepared a message. Relax, she's going to be fine. Eyes front, church. Stats will be okay. Okay, I can get your attention. Lord, we pray that you be with Stacy. We thank you she's going to be just fine. Lord, we don't only believe that, but we believe there'll come a time when there'll be strength, where crutches won't be required, Lord God, and there will be refreshed hope and strength for her and her family. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Stacy was in a hurry to go out to minister in the children's church. Isn't that amazing? It's a challenge to you and I. Amen? Because if she can, so can we. Right, so as I was starting to say, I started preparing a message. I prepared a message, and then I felt I had another message. And there's another message I want to preach. And maybe somewhere along the line, you know, we need to preach about doctrine sometimes. We need, can you imagine, preach about the doctrine about judgment. When last did you hear a message about judgment, God's judgment? But that's why the church is in the state it's in, because we don't preach about it. Because there's two choices, heaven or hell. And hell is real, and if we don't serve God, there's a very real possibility that we'll spend eternity away from Him. Amen. But that's not what I'm going to speak about this morning. The message this morning is titled, As Soon As I Pray. As Soon As I Pray. And it came from one of the scriptures I will be sharing with you this morning. Many of you received the daily email that we sent out, the encouraging email that we sent out during weekdays. If you're not receiving it, please let us know. Our email address is christianheritagechurch@gmail.com. Simple. christianheritagechurch, all one word, @gmail.com. And if you want to receive the daily encouragement, you can just ask us and we'll subscribe you to it. But those of you that have been receiving it will know that many of the scriptures that I use come from the Psalms. And the reality is, the book of the Psalms is a really encouraging book. There's so many accounts in the Psalms of situations and how God has moved and blessed in situations. So it's a real... If you're feeling a bit downcast, go and read in the Psalms. Some of the Psalms can be... You can share in David's downcastedness, but there's always a pick-me-up at the end, because God loves us. And so as I was reading in the Psalms this week, I again found encouraging scriptures, which a lot of this message is going to contain. But Psalms, the psalmist write about trials, attacks, betrayal, sickness, difficult circumstances, and they request God's help. Or otherwise, they're coming in the Psalms with thanksgiving for God having moved on their behalf. If you go and look in the Psalms, that's what the Psalms really is about. Pastor Dave, last Sunday night, spoke about the fact that difficult times, trials, tribulations are a reality. They happen in all of our lives. And I felt the Lord just leading me to preach about it again this morning. And I hope I haven't copied your message. I know I haven't. But this church and the people in this church, myself and you included, go through difficult times, trials and circumstances which are difficult. And we need all the help we can get. And I want to tell you there's an answer for us in the Word of God. Sometimes I feel that we go through too many trials. You know, there's got to be a balance. Life is a series of valleys and mountains. Mountains when things are going well, valleys when things are going tough. It's a series of those, and we can move from one to the other. I can be in a great place this morning, and later on today I might get a phone call that changes everything. And that's reality. But you can't stay in the valley all the time. And if you're in the valley all the time, something's wrong. And we need to ask the Lord to give us breakthrough. Amen? So, without any further, I'm going to go into the message of this morning. And I've just picked up five messages from the Psalms. Five things or points that we can take hold of in the Psalms. And we all know that we'll make it through our difficult times. Here comes Shana. Is your sister all right, Shana? Okay, that's all. We'll be thinking about you. Trust us. Can I ask you another question? I know I'm supposed to be preaching. Do they need help in the children's? Okay, sorry. Need to deal with business too. Because the children are important. So turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 138. The first point I want to make is that we can stand on God's promises. And we all know that. Psalm 138 verse 1 to 2 says this. And just stay in the Psalms when you get there. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. I will sing your praises before the gods. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness. For your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. This is a psalm where the psalmist is giving God thanks. And he's not just giving a little bit of thanks. I thank you with all of my heart. I will sing your praises before the other gods. I don't care about them. I will come and bow before your holy temple as I worship you. I praise your name because your love is unfailing. And your faithfulness is amazing. And in each of our lives, we can know that God is with us in the same way. The psalmist was so confident in God that he would give thanks before other gods, the false gods. He would say to them, I want you to know, you false gods, that my God is greater and he answers my prayers. He's far greater than you. He said it, I will say it before other gods. And you know, in their time, they had temples and temple worship and idols and all sorts of false gods. In our time, there are still those. But as Christians, we're not that exposed to it because we come to church. But he says, as far as I'm concerned, he said, I'll go and stand before that pagan temple and I'll say, I will give thanks to my God before you because he's greater than you. And that's what we need to know. Our God is greater than any other God. There are no other real gods. There's only one God, and that's the God that we serve. But he makes another statement, an amazing statement, at the end of verse 2. He says this, "Your promises are backed by all the honor of your name." All the honor of your name. What better backing could we ask for? What better backing could we ask for than for God to put all the honor of his name behind his promises? Think about that. So if I go and buy a used car and I get a guarantee, that used car salesman gives me his word. How many of us know it's worth nothing? Okay? Because all you need is a bit of a problem. Sorry, I hope there's no used car salesman in the church this morning. But how many of us have had problems? You can go and buy a new car. And how good is that guarantee? People still have problems. But when God says, "I guarantee my promises with all the honor of my name," they are unshakable. His promises stand. They cannot be moved. He cannot lie. We can trust God beyond anything else. We can say, "You are my sure foundation, and as I stand on your promises, I know that I will not be disappointed." Amen. That is our God. If I make a promise personally, I may still break my promise because I'm a frail man. I may still let you down. But if God makes a promise, he will never let us down. That's not an excuse for us to break our promises, church. But that's reality, because we are human beings. But God's promises will never be shaken. So when he makes us a promise, we can stand on it. And he puts all of his honor. He says, "Don't worry, I'm not just confident enough to say that I will keep my promise." He says, "I stake my reputation on it." Imagine God's reputation being broken. The whole world would fall apart. He says, "I am so confident that I can meet you in your need that I will stake my reputation on it." We've got a God that we can trust, church. If you've got a difficult circumstance or a difficult situation, you can go and stand on God's promises and he will see you through. And as we go through the message this morning, I want to show you. You may say, "But I've been doing that and I haven't had a result." I'm going to show you something absolutely amazing later on in the message. So we can trust God. This gives us reason to praise him continually. As I stood down here this morning and we started singing, "Victory, victory." And then we started singing that second song. And we said, "I will shout." We literally lifted the roof off of this church. It was exciting. That is the kind of praise we can have because we serve a God whose promises are unshakable. We can praise God and we must learn to praise God because he's worthy to be praised. What promise of God are you standing on today, church? We know, I was going to lift my Bible, I'll have to lift my iPad up. But we know that his word is full of promises. What promises have you taken? What promise are you standing on today, church? The promises that cannot be shaken. The promises that are going to stand because God has placed his entire reputation on them. Have you stood on a promise that says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you in the midst of your trial"? Or maybe, "With me, nothing is impossible." In your trial, just know that it's not impossible. There's a way out. What about the promise in Exodus that says, "I am the Lord that heals you"? There are so many promises. He promised to come in and heal the brokenhearted and bind our wounds. By his stripes we have been healed. What promise are you standing on this morning, church? If you're going, let me see a show of hands. Who's going through a difficult time this morning? You can raise up your hands. No shame in it. What promise are you standing on? What promise have you taken to stand on this morning? And I felt that I must say that this morning as I preach this message. If I'm going through a difficult time, I need to go into God's word and find a promise to stand on. And later on when we pray, I'm going to invite you forward and we're going to pray for you. I want you to think, you know, I don't want to put you under pressure. But if you've got a promise you're standing on, share it with the person that prays for you. And let us pray that over you in the church this morning. The promises that are unshakable, that God has staked his reputation on. Let us stand here before him this morning and say, "Lord, I stand on your promise and I know that you will see me through my trial." Hallelujah. So don't forget to bring a scripture with you later on. But I don't want to, if you don't have one, that's fine. Just come, let us pray for you in any case. But if you've got a scripture, let's use it. So my first point was that we can stand on God's promises and He will be with us. The second point I want to make this morning is that when we face distress, God is on our side. He is with us in the middle of our difficult situation. God is with us. When Stacy fell there this morning, and it's easy for me to say because I'm not her, I didn't feel her pain. I didn't bump myself. But even in that difficult situation, maybe an embarrassing situation for her, God was right there with her. She was not alone. There were people that ran to her, but let me tell you, before any person got to her, God was with her. And if you're facing a difficult situation, God is with you. You're not alone. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's His promise. So if He said that, that means if I'm going through a difficult situation, God is with me. As we went through the circumstance of my mom getting frail and weak, it was tough. She will tell you that we'd go and visit her, and I would come out of there, and she could see all over my face that seeing her in that way was tough for me. But God was with me, and God was with her. And God was with us through the funeral, and God has been with us through the week. We will not lose hope. We will not be downcast because God is with us. He is for us in the midst of our circumstances. And no matter what you're facing, you must know that God is with you. Psalm 118 and verse 5. Sure. I needed God's guidance to find my glass. Because it wasn't where I thought I left it. Psalm 118 verse 5. In my distress, I prayed to the... In my distress, the psalmist faced distress. I prayed to the Lord. What must we do when we're in distress, church? Pray. And the Lord answered me and set me free. This is the psalmist who was giving a personal testimony. And he said that God heard me. It says, in my distress, I prayed and the Lord heard me. And what did He do? He set me free. He said He delivered me. In the midst of our difficulties, we can pray and God will deliver us. And I asked Larry because he said he'd like to share a testimony. So Larry, if you're ready, can I ask you to share your testimony this morning? Thanks, Pastor.
Okay. I just threw you in the deep end. I didn't.
Good morning. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I haven't had a chance to greet all of you this morning. I'm a little bit nervous, so bear with me. Pastor, how long have I got? 10 minutes? I'll be brief. Yes, in 2003, I'm going back a while, I had a heart attack. We were in Pretoria. I'm a bit nervous, Pastor. We were in Pretoria to go and visit a friend. She was having an opening, they were doing pottery, and so anyway, we went up to this her place, and she asked me if I'd help her with some lights around the house because it was dark. So I said yes, okay, I'll do that for you. And so I started putting up these lights for her, and I wasn't feeling too bright later on into the afternoon. And as I was finishing off, I said to Lulu, I can't take this pain in my chest anymore. So I lay down on the grass and she brought me some tablets. Anyway, the pain didn't go away, so I said, listen, you have to get me to a doctor. This was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So she got me into the car somehow, and we went down, going to the hospital. And on our way to the hospital, the roads were chock-a-block. It was on the N1, and there was plenty of cars. And I don't know, I think I lost consciousness. Anyway, God was in the situation, I'm pretty sure about it, because there was a traffic cop that pulled the lady off on the side of the road. And I think he was giving her a ticket. Anyway, this lady knew how to work on me, and she started pumping my chest like this. And eventually the ambulance came. I don't know how long it took, but the ambulance came and they took me through to hospital. About 9 o'clock that evening, the doctor said to me, "You've had a heart attack. We're going to have to put you into ICU." So they put me into ICU for 3 days. I was in ICU and then I came out of there. And I was in the hospital for another few days. And then they released me and I came home. And for quite a few years, I had to be on tablets for blood pressure and to keep me healthy. And 2008, I started to get this pain in the chest again. So Lily took me through to the hospital. Ambulance came and fetched me and took me through to the hospital. And the guy said, "He hasn't got a heart problem. There's no signs of a heart attack. But what I did have was double pneumonia." So I was put back into hospital again. And I started to get diarrhea and I got really sick. But I managed to come through that. And I praise God for that. In 2012, I was working for a company that was doing refrigeration. And I had to take the technician up to Pretoria to go and do a job. And as I was helping them carry their stuff through to the job, and there was a sheet of metal over an opening, and I was carrying this material and stuff, and I bent down to walk underneath this thing, and it cut me open here. And I didn't think much of that. Put a plaster on. Eventually it healed. And a couple of months after that, I was here in this church. Then it was 2 years ago. We went to lunch with Lorraine and Rowan. They were friends of ours. Some people might not know them. Anyway, we went to lunch and we were sitting at the table and I said to Lulu's daughter, she was sitting next to me, Lulu had gone to the bathroom. I said, "I'm not feeling too good." And I was busy pouring cold drink. And that was the last thing I remembered. When I woke up, they were loading me into an ambulance. And they took me to hospital and they said, "You've had an epileptic fit." So I was in hospital for a few days. And then, of course, I had to take medicine. And you know it's a slip when you have to go to these government hospitals. You've got to wait for hours and hours. Anyway, I took the medicine and I started to get these headaches. And for 2 years, I had these headaches. And I had to take tablets and they wouldn't help me. They didn't help me at all. And in March I went to the doctor and I said to the doctor, "Listen, I can't take these headaches anymore. By the grace of God, I didn't lose my temper during the time. I kept my cool. We had peace in the house, which is God's grace." And anyway, to finish my story, on the 24th of April, we were down in the prayer room down the bottom here, and Pastor Keith and Pastor Dave and Frank came, and I was sitting down, and they prayed for me. And when I woke up Saturday morning, the headache was gone, and to this day, I haven't had another pill for headaches. Now, praise God. He is I am.
So did you pick up from Larry not just one time when God moved in his life, but a series of times when God was moving in his life? Not one difficulty, but numbers of difficulties. But God always sees you through. Thank you, Larry, for sharing that. And this morning, in the prayer room, Pastor Pat prayed, we've got a drought of miracles. But I'd like to say, I think we've got a lot of miracles that take place. I think we don't even realize when God does miracles. He's busy moving all the time. You know, He keeps us safe in the car on the way to work. He protects us from criminals. He heals us. We pray and we forget. And the symptom that we prayed for is gone, but we've forgotten. God moves all the time. And just as the psalmist was testifying and said, in my distress I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. So He's been there for you, Larry, many times. So He's been there for you and I many times. And the reason why I asked for a testimony now was so that you can see it's not just for there in the Bible. It's for us here and now, today. God is with us in our difficulties and our trials. Psalm 118 verse 6, the next psalm says this in the New King James Version. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can men do to me? That's when men give us difficult times. And if you go and read the same psalm in the New Living Translation, it says, the Lord is for me. So the one says, the Lord is with me. The other one says, the Lord is for me. God is for us. You need to realize, church, that God loves you. He's for you. He's with you right now in the midst of your circumstance. And even though things are looking difficult, maybe it's a headache, maybe it's somebody persecuting you, maybe it's a financial need, just know that where you are right now, God is with you and God is for you. And it continues to say in verse 7, the Lord is for me. He repeats it. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. So even at the end of your difficulty, you will look in triumph over those who hate you. That's when people oppress you. But when you're sick, you'll get to the point where you'll look in triumph over that sickness because it'll be gone. God would have seen you through. You will look at your financial situation. You look at your bank statement in triumph and say, well, it's gone back into the green. Praise God. My month came to the end before my money did. Because God is with you. But church, we need to trust God in these areas of our lives. We need to know that He's in our side. In the New Testament, Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So I want to tell you this morning, in the midst of your trial, right in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your difficulty, you are not alone. Are you feeling alone this morning? Are you feeling like you're stuck in the middle of your trial? Have you been struggling to cope and feeling all alone? I want to tell you this morning, you're not alone. Even if nobody seems to care, even if nobody came to pray for you, just know that God is with you. God is with you. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Right. You're not going to sleep yet. I know two people in this church that aren't going to sleep this morning. And that's Fred and I. Because that water was too cold to let us. We're going to be awake for a while. Right. Okay, the third point is, and my wife put it up too soon. Just because we are facing trials does not mean that God does not love us. That's the first thing the enemy will come and tell you. Say, oh, so you're not feeling well. Oh, so you haven't got money. It's because God doesn't love you. You've done something wrong. He's punishing you. You know what? That's a load of rubbish. It's a load of rubbish. We say, if God loves me, then why am I sick? If God loves me, then why can't I find work? That's the enemy. Because he comes to rob, kill, and destroy. And when he can make you doubt like that, he robs you of your faith. You can't trust God when you're saying, oh, but why am I in this situation? Because there's too much doubt. You need to say, I don't care, regardless of what my circumstances is, no matter what I'm going through, I will trust God. Amen. Because He will see you through. And it doesn't mean just because I'm going through a difficult time that God doesn't love me. He loves me. I've just said, in the midst of our trial, He's with us. Do you think He'd be there if He didn't love us? Of course not. Of course not. And it's a test of our own love. It's a test of our own caring for others. If somebody's going through a difficult circumstance, and I'm standing and I'm watching, but I'm not there with them, do I love them? But God says, I love you in the middle of your difficulty. And I have not left you nor forsaken you. And if you think I'm sucking this out of my thumb, then let me read this to you from Romans 8 verse 35. I'll miss verse 36 and read 37 to 38. Again from the New Living Translation. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Can anything take us away from? Does it mean, it says this in the Word, Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? That's what it says in the Bible. Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? No! Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither life, death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Isn't that an amazing scripture? I just love it where it says here, does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? And then it says, no! Doesn't mean that. Praise the Lord for that. When we face trials, God's love towards us abounds towards us in the midst of the trial. The enemy came to rob, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. But what did God come to do? He came to give life, and that in abundance. So even in the midst of my trial, I need to be secure in the truth that God loves me. God loves me. So turn to the person next to you and say, God loves me. Okay, now turn to the other person in case you feel like they're picking on you because nobody said that to you, and say, God loves me. We need to confess that, church. We need to know it. Now, I want you to know, how many of you put up your hands earlier on when you said you're going through a trial? Those same people that lifted their hands just said, God loves me. I hope you believe it. Amen. I'm trying to make it sink in. All right. So my question to you this morning, it's another challenge. Have you been tempted to turn your back on God because of your trial that you're facing or your storm of life that you're facing? Have you been tempted? Have you been saying, well, God doesn't care anymore, so I'm just going to carry on and do as I please? And if you're a human being, you might very well have had a thought like that. This morning I want to encourage you to say, it's time to turn back. Turn back to God. God loves you. Turn to Him and trust Him in the midst of your situation. Don't let pain or danger or financial troubles or family troubles or anything else cause you to turn your back on God's love. His love is there for you. The only thing that can separate you from God's love is your own decision to turn your back on it. Because that scripture that I just read said, not even the enemy can turn God's love from us. So the only way we can come out from under God's love is if we choose to move out from under it. It's our own choice. What choice are you going to make today? My advice to you, good scriptural advice, Pastor Kit's advice, is that you turn back to God. And don't turn your back on it. Then the fourth point is, and this was a scripture that just blessed me out of my socks, and I'll tell it to you just now. I want to just go back. In that scripture it said, what did God give them after the trial? Overwhelming victory. Not just victory, overwhelming victory. I'll put it in my notes here in capital letters. I shouted it out. The next point is that God answers immediately. Now, you may say, I've prayed, but God didn't answer. You may say, I've prayed, but I still don't have resolution. We've been praying for Stacy for 2.5 years already, but she's not walking properly yet. Does that mean that God didn't answer? And I've got a scriptural answer for you here. Daniel, when he prayed, he sought God and says that for 21 days thereafter, he was mourning, probably because of the state of Jerusalem that had been burned and trashed and damaged by invading forces. Only after 21 days did he have an encounter with an angel. But this is what the angel said in Daniel 10 verse 12. From the first day, when? The first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were. From the very first day his words were heard. And I have come because of your words. 21 days later the angel arrives. I have come because of your words. Now this is the scripture that blessed me. Psalm 138 verse 3. As soon as I pray, you answer me. As soon as I pray, you answer me. That's the title of this message. As soon as I pray, you answer me. Church, you need to know that. Get it in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. As soon as I pray, God answers me. Not, I will pray and when He's ready, He'll answer me. Not, you know, we've always been taught, if we don't get what we want, maybe it's not God's time, da, da, da. It doesn't matter. As soon as you pray, regardless of how God answers, He answers you. So when I call on God, He answers me. But there's more. But wait, there's more. Right. Continues to say this. You encourage me by giving me strength. You encourage me by giving me strength. So there are two statements here in these two scriptures I've read. In Daniel's case, it was from the first day. In this Psalm 138, it says, as soon as I pray, from the moment I pray, when I say, Lord, I need help, there it is. He's heard us. And he answers. But then you say to me, but if God's answered me, why am I still in my circumstance? Why am I still having a difficulty? Why am I still in my trial? Because when God answers you, it says this, as soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. So the minute I pray, God encourages me and he gives me strength. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that a blessing? The minute I pray, I'm in my situation, I'm going through a difficult time, God encourages me, which is exactly what I need, and he gives me strength. Strength to see the situation through. Because he might not heal me today. He might not provide for me today. But right now, he encourages me, and he gives me strength to deal with my circumstances. So now, I don't have to walk away from kneeling on my knees and go and hang myself. I'm not saying that in a joking manner. I'm saying there's hope for you. God encourages us by his Spirit. The minute we face a difficult situation, we're in trouble. But the minute we pray, we have got help from on high. Who more? The God that said, I will stake my reputation on my promises. You can stand on his promises. He says, I will encourage you and I will strengthen you to face whatever it is that you've got to go through. Isn't that amazing? Church, we can say amen to that. As I read that psalm, it just blesses me. No matter how difficult my trial is, it will not break me. Turn and say to the person next to you, it will not break me. It won't. Because God is giving you the strength to get through your trial. I'm going to move along. How else did Paul and Silas manage, bound at midnight, beaten in that prison, to be able to praise God? Because God strengthened them. How else did David do it when they attacked his village and took away his family and the people that were with him? And the rest of the men wanted to stone him. He wept and was in great distress. But in 1 Samuel verse 6b, it says, the end part of the verse, it says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. We need to strengthen ourselves in God. How do I strengthen myself in God? I call out on his name. And the minute I pray, he answers me. And he strengthens me and encourages me. That's an amazing scripture. And what will he give me? Overwhelming victory. He'll give me overwhelming victory. He makes our trials and our circumstances more bearable, more manageable, and he sets us up for victory. If the answer doesn't come immediately, it doesn't mean that he doesn't love me. It could be like in Daniel's case that there's a spiritual battle going on. The angel said, I had to deal with the prince of Persia, a demonic force. I had to fight with him. It took 21 days, and only once I had help from one of the archangels was I able to come. So maybe there's a spiritual battle going on. That's why you haven't got your answer. Maybe the Lord is allowing you to go through that trial because he knows that it's going to build perseverance and it's going to build character in your life and you're going to come through on the other side a stronger person. God sometimes allows that to happen. Maybe there's sin in our lives and God needs us to deal with that first before the answer comes. But the minute I pray, he strengthens me and encourages me. Isn't that amazing? You're not alone, church. Are you in the middle of that trial right now? Are you aware that God has given you the strength to see it through? God has given you the strength to see it through. Are you allowing yourself to be encouraged in the Lord like David did? Church, I want to encourage you this morning. In the midst of your trial, allow yourself to be encouraged. If you haven't done that, then today is the day. And then finally, we don't need to fear when we're in the midst of a trial. Psalm 46, I'd like you to go and read this whole psalm at home and pray it through and ask the Lord to show you. Read it in context. Read it as though you're in the middle of a trial. Psalm 46 verse 1 to 4 says this, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So God's there. He's ready to help us. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and mountains crumble into the sea. In your and my life, an earthquake and a mountain crumbling means my world is shattered. It's falling apart. But the Bible says, yeah, David wrote it, he said, we will not fear. Why? Because when my little wheels fall off of my life and everything is chaos, God is ready and willing to help me. Isn't that amazing? Church, I'm trying to build your faith this morning. I'm not. It's the word of God. It's not my words. It says, let the oceans roar in front. Let the problems rage. Okay, it's not inviting them, but it says if they come, they come. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. And then I've just jumped down to Psalm 46 verse 10. It's one of the very first scriptures I memorized. Be still and know that I am God. In the midst of your storm, know that God is there. He's willing to help you. He still loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. He's your strength. He's your rock. And He wants to help you. He's going to give you the strength to deal with your trial. And you can come. That's what makes Christians different. Because we've got hope. We don't have to commit suicide. Because there's always light at the end of the tunnel. There's never not light at the end of the tunnel. When you're a child of God, that turns your eyes on Him. The Lord's just leading me in this. And I've said it twice this morning. It wasn't in my message. I believe there's somebody here this morning that your trial has been difficult and you've been considering suicide. And it's not for you. It's not for you. It's not God's plan for your life. It's not God's plan for anybody's life. And this morning you need to come forward and just give it to the Lord and know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. Amen? So what have I said here in this last little bit? We do not need to fear the storms of life. We may not look forward to difficulties, but in our hearts, we have the faith to know that we will make it through. We will make it through. God will give us overwhelming victory. We can be still. We can have peace and know that He is God. We all face trials. This is the end of the message. I'm just going to summarize it for you. We all face trials and problems. But these are the times when the amazing blessings of God and the love of God are most evident. You know why? It's not because they're not there all the other time. But when things are going well, we're kind of oblivious to God's presence. It's what I said earlier. Miracles happen all day long in our lives. But when we're in the middle of a trial, that's when we say, oh Lord, are you taking notice? It's a time when we can be the most blessed. The Word of God says, we count it all joy when we face trials. In the book of James. We simply need to remember that what God's Word tells us. And so what have we said this morning? When we face trials, number one is, we stand on God's promises. They are guaranteed by all the honor of His name. I actually made it personally. I said, I stand on God's promises. Me, personally. That's what you say. I stand. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. I stand on God's promises. God is on my side and He remains with me. I know my trial does not mean that God does not love me. God answers me immediately and He gives me strength to endure. And I will not fear the trial. I will be still and trust God. 5 things you can do. 5 things that will give you victory, no matter what your trial is, no matter what your circumstance is. And you know, we haven't faced what other people faced. I haven't faced what you face. But I know that God's Word does not lie. Amen. We can stand on God's Word. And those are promises that we've drawn out of it this morning. Stand with me, church. I'm going to pray briefly. And then I'm going to ask you, if you're in the middle of a trial, to come forward. Remember what I said. Bring that scripture that you know. And then I'm going to ask, once you've come forward, and I'm trusting a lot of people are going to come forward this morning, not because it means that I've preached a wonderful message, but a lot of people put their hands up this morning, and you need us to pray for you. And then I want to ask the leaders, the pastors in the church, to come and help me to pray so that we can pray for everybody and not keep people back too long. So I'm going to pray, and as I'm praying, don't feel you being irreverent. Come forward as I'm praying. And then if the rest, those that are going to help me to pray will also come forward. Father, we want to thank You this morning that we are not alone. Lord, we face difficulties and trials and difficult situations almost on a daily basis. But Lord, of these things we can be sure. We can stand on Your promises. They are guaranteed by all the honor of Your name. Lord, we can be sure that you are on our side and that you remain with us in the midst of our difficulties and our trials. We know that no matter what we are facing, it is not a sign that you don't love us, but that you do love us, even in the midst of our difficult situation. And you're about to give us overwhelming victory. Lord, we thank you that you answer us immediately when we pray. And we're going to pray for all these people here this morning. We know that you're going to answer immediately and encourage them and give them strength to endure until this trial passes. And Lord, thank you that we do not need to fear our trials, but we can be still and know that you are God. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I ask church, don't leave. Let's stay worshiping as the worship team sings. Let us just stay in the Lord's presence.